time for the reading of the word. If I'm not mistaken, I was counting about 7 kids going back there to Sunday school today. That's fantastic, ain't it? We're going to get outnumbered. We're going to get outnumbered quickly. I mean, Belize, I don't want to wish any ill will on the neighbors, but we need a bigger Sunday school room in Jesus' name. I believe God can give them a bigger, better building somewhere and bless us with that until we can build the new church. What do you say in Jesus' name? God bless them so you can bless us. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. I'm going to be preaching on something today that I believe will help us if you will hear what I've got to say today. I had my message written out, and I was laying in bed this morning, and God changed it. And I feel like God directed me on what I need to preach on today. So this is really hot off the press. It was just penned this morning. So I believe God, the other message is going to be preached somewhere, but it ain't going to be preached here today in Jesus' name. I believe it's important to follow the Holy Ghost. And when God speaks to you, I believe we need to respond and listen to what God is doing. So we're going to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Yes, chapter number 10, 1 Corinthians 10, starting at verse 11. Verse number 11 reads like this. Now all these things happened unto them for what? In samples, meaning in our today's terms, that would be for sample product. Of this is what happens when you do this, or this is what happens when you don't do this. These are, as our words would be, examples for us. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he what? Those that preach once saved, always saved. I've got a feeling Paul doesn't believe that. Because Paul said you better take heed, because there is a possibility that if you get overbearing in your walk with God, that you think you're too big to fall, you better watch your steps, because the devil sees it. And he goes on to say, verse 13, there hath no temptation taken to you. And this is the key phrase that I want to pull from this verse. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is what? Such as is common to man. Everybody say common. But God is what? Who will not suffer to you to be tempted above that ye are able. He didn't say you wouldn't be tempted. The Bible, he instructed his disciples to pray that they wouldn't fall into temptation. Protect yourselves, that God would help you not to fall into temptation. But he didn't say you wouldn't be tempted. He just said he won't allow you to be tempted above what you could tolerate if you're walking in the Spirit. And might I call it this, if it hasn't become too common. But with the temptation, also make a way to what? He says, if the temptation comes, and you're looking at the temptation right in the eye, and I'm just using you for an example. You're looking, where's the exit? There's another way. This, I see him. He's stronger than I am. He's bigger than I am. And if he were really mad at me, you know what I would be doing at this point? There's an aisle there. There's an aisle there. Which one of us can get to the aisle fast enough? Because there is a way of escape. And Jesus said, if the tempter's going to come, just look around. There's a way around the situation. He says, but with the temptation also make of way escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I'm going to preach just for a little while, and Brother Ted, we're going to pick up some of those other verses in a little while. Can we all bow our heads? I'm going to preach just for a little while on this one simple word, common. Common. Dear Lord, we love you and we thank you for everything you're doing. We thank you for this wonderful body of believers here. We ask you, God, to help me strengthen my mind and my spirit. You know what you put into me, God, in a hurried state today, God. But there is someone here or an entire church here that needs to hear what you've got to say. Help me to deliver it in the right way. Anoint my lips. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The word common is something that all of us have heard throughout our life. We have common interests, if you will. That means we recognize, we know each other. We have common things. There are things that we are alike. There are things in our lives that we become very common with. It becomes second nature. Many of you, when you go down the aisles of a grocery store, it's a common thing that you start on a particular aisle and you work your way down the next aisle, and you sometimes will skip an aisle and you'll always go back to hit the dairy last because you've got a particular way that it's the common way you always do it. And it's something that's very common to you. Many of us, when we get up in the morning, it's a common thing for us to get in the car and drive to work. And it's common for us to stop at the gas station. I happened to stop at a gas station the other day, and I usually get my gas at the same gas station on the south side of South Bend at Kern Road. I'll just advertise them because they were kind to me. Up by where Brother Brad Hoffman lives at the Phillips 66 station at Kern and 31. If anybody goes that way, buy gas from them because they were kind to the man of God. But I was stopped in there and I got my fuel like I always do. And I went inside and I went to wash my hands and I came back out and I grabbed a donut. And I went to the counter and went to pay. And she says, "Is that all you got?" I said, "Yes, I got fuel outside. That's all I got. It's just a blueberry donut." As my boy likes the blueberry donut, so I thought I would try one that day. And I got my blueberry donut. She goes, "Is that all you have?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She goes, "Have a good day." I said, "Well, I got to pay for the donut." She says, "Don't ask me twice. Have a good day." But what she had recognized was I have become common. She recognizes that if I buy fuel there on a regular basis, it's good for the business that they might spend a quarter, or that donut might have cost them 30 cents. But it's a good 30 cents because I was common. It was common to see me come through there. And not only that, I believe God will bless her because she gave me a donut. I just believe that's the kind of God I serve. I believe God will do that. But we all have those places that we become common. It becomes normal. Brother Kirk, no doubt, gets up and goes into work. He probably has the normal routine when he walks in, hits the time clock, if he even hits a time clock anymore, goes to his office and turns certain things on, turns certain things off, does certain things throughout the shop because it's a common thing that you do every single day. It's very normal for me on my job when I pull up to a service call and I step out of my van, I automatically go around and I grab my hand cart, I grab my tool bag, I set my tool bag on the hand cart. I'll hang my gauges on there. I'll throw my meter on the little strap. And if I'm doing a PM, I automatically will throw the grease gun, the cleaner, and the rags, and I'm off. And it's a common thing. I know exactly what I'm looking for. I don't even have to think about it. It's automatic. It's what I always do. When I walk up to a machine that's been broken, there are certain things that I will automatically check immediately when I walk up to a machine that's broken. I will look at the machine, and the first thing is, they taught me as a very young man, is don't overlook the obvious. First thing is, go check the thermostat. Make sure it's even turned on. Make sure the thermostat even works before you go try to rip the compressor out of the machine. Because it very well just may not even be turned on. It's a common thing. You recognize certain things. But as you go through life, even in my trade, and I've told this story before, it's easy for us to get too common with certain things. I've done this a million times. I've walked this way a bazillion times. My wife had this last week where they went to go for a walk, and a friend of hers said, "Well, let's walk a different way." they were walking every morning, and she said, well, let's walk the way I walk. And the first thing my wife said was, are there any dogs? Me and dogs don't get along when we're walking, because usually I'm running and they're chasing me. Are there any dogs? No, there's no dogs. She said they didn't get a little ways down the road and there's a dog. Oh, I've never seen that dog before. Because the other lady had went that way so many times, she didn't even recognize that the little yapping dog was there because it didn't bother her and it was just a common thing. Oftentimes at work, sometimes I will be working on something and I have to constantly check myself to make sure that I went through all the safety things that I need to go through, because I'm fixing to put my hand in a box that has 480 volts of power. We're not allowed to wear any kind of wedding rings or anything on our hands because we're working inside a very dangerous equipment. If I were to take a screwdriver and accidentally touch those two terminals together, Brother Kirk probably knows exactly what would happen. Not only would there be an arc flash that would probably blind me and burn me very bad, but there would be no screwdriver and probably no hand left connected to the screwdriver. Because it's a very dangerous thing. And there is something called lockout, tagout, that everywhere I work I have to follow. And the reason that I have to follow that is because they know if I've done this for 18 years like I have, it will become common for me just to pick up a meter and check something, or not check it and go to work assuming I've always done it that way, that everyone's the same. And that moment that you do that and you forget and you're not thinking is the moment that, boom, it became too common. And the Bible says there is no temptation that's not common. It's familiar from all generations. It's a common thing. And it's very easy for us as church members, when we come to God at the very onset of life, Brother Joey, when you walked into this church and felt what you felt, and you went down and were buried in a baptism in Jesus' name, and that first week, it's very easy. You want to give everybody a hug. You don't want to punch nobody anymore. You want to think everything in your life wants to be different. It's dramatically changed because you have taken your life and given it up, and now you're in love with Jesus Christ. But it's a very easy thing for all of us, and can I get any amens from any elders in here, that you go through life along the way and you realize you're taking things for granted. And you walk into church. Can I be pastor for a minute? You walk into church and you sit down. And you know what pastor's going to do before he ever does it. And you're tired, and you're weak, and you're weary, and it's, I did my duty and I come to church. But if you remember the week after you got the Holy Ghost, you couldn't wait till church time. You couldn't find the prayer room fast enough. And you told everybody that week where you was going on Sunday, just in case somebody wanted to go with you. Because you wanted everybody to have what you had. And if the preacher got up and got a little bit excited, you was on a hair trigger. You might explode at any moment because you were thankful that, whoa, what God did for me. I'm excited about this thing. But the reality is, over time, things become too, what? Common. This is what we do. Pastor's going to take up an offering. I'm going to see if I've got a couple dollars in my pocket. I'm going to put it in there like I do every week. Did you ever think about when you first came to church, you didn't leave for church without checking your pocket because you might want to give a sacrificial offering that night and you wanted to make sure you was prepared. Now we go to church and just hoping we got a couple bucks in our pocket when they take up the offering because we didn't even think about the offering before church. Think about this. There's a danger because things become too, what? Sister so-and-so is going to get up there and sing a song. We're going to recognize the song and oh, the first time we heard that song, think about this. It touched our heart. Tears streamed down our face. We felt the Spirit of God when she sang that song. Now she sings that song, we think, yeah, she's going to sing that song again, ain't she? Ain't she got nothing new? Huh? Am I not real? Do we not do that? Pastor sang that holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty song 100. He sings it every week. Doesn't he ever get tired of that song? And you know what he's going to do? He's going to sing Amazing Grace in the last verse. You know what he's going to say? This is my favorite verse. He says it every time he sings it. You know why? It's become common. See, I could pick on me, and I know what all of you are thinking. But the reality is, we must be careful that the things of God do not become common. Because there's going to come a day when you've thought you've got all your ducks in a row, and you've done this a million times. But the devil's going to slip something in that day that somebody turned the disconnect back on when you had your back turned. And they wasn't supposed to be in the room. But the reality was you didn't get out your meter and you didn't check the voltage. And now you just reach your hand in there and you grab a hold of something that's live. And now you're shocked and now you're probably not going to live. All because you just assumed it's always been this way. It's always going to be that way. And sometimes that's not the case at all. Because the devil is a sly old fox. He knows exactly how to tempt you. He knows what ways to wiggle in. Sister Jade, he knows exactly where your temptations are. And he knows eventually you're going to slip just a little bit and give him an opening. And you give him an inch, he takes a mile. And he knows exactly where Pastor's temptations are. Brother Rodney, he knows where your temptations are. And if he can get you to think it's just another day, just another service, I did my duty. If anybody asks tomorrow, I could tell them, I went to church. Praise God, I'm spiritual. But did you really go to church? Did you come sit at church? Or did you engage in church? Was it still like the week you got the Holy Ghost? Are you still as passionate about the gospel of Jesus Christ as you were 20 years ago? 30 years ago? Or have things just become too, what? Common. How many of you remember the first time you sat behind the wheel of a vehicle? How many of you wish you'd never remembered the first time you sat behind the wheel of might not have been too pretty that day? You remember the first time you were allowed to drive? My children started driving very young. Not on the road, just we have a very long driveway. So they got a lot of practice because every time we go to pull in the driveway, my children were, Dad, get in the passenger seat. Well, first it was, Dad, let me steer. But then after a while, just steering wasn't good enough. It's, Dad, can I drive? Can I do the pedals and everything? After they steered for a while, you get a little bit of confidence. Then you move your foot over and you touch the brake and you let them use the gas, realizing you might could just, you know, balance things out if you need to. And they do pretty good. And then after a while, you get over to the side and say, you know what? Honey, this is your big day. You put it in park and you get out and she goes, what are you doing, Dad? Well, I'm driving. You're driving. For real? I'm going to drive the whole thing all by myself, Dad? Absolutely. You got to learn sometime. And it's just an old farm truck. It's going to rust to the ground eventually anyway. There's no time like today to learn. And you know what I watch? They put both hands on the wheel. And they're very careful with the pedals. And they're asking a lot of questions. And how many years does it take until you're driving with one hand, coffee in the other, holding a donut in this one, and steering with your pinky finger? Am I the only one that does those kinds of things? Why? Because it's gotten to what?
And those are the times when you can slip and make a mistake. And it could be very devastating. When you first got your license, you would have never held a cup of coffee while you were driving. You'd have never done, "Honey, I need to blow my nose. Can you steer from the passenger seat?" Anybody else ever done that? So you got one person working the pedals, another one trying to drive with their left hand that ain't their normal hand. You'd have never done that when you first got your license. How many of you would have told the driving instructor, "I'm fixing to sneeze, why don't you steer while we're driving down the interstate?" Not a chance. But it becomes too common. I don't care if it's work. Most of us, when we first met that beautiful wife or hunk, wonderful man of a husband, we sat down to eat. We'd have barely ate two French fries. Or we'd have got through the salad and said, "Oh, I just don't think I can eat anything else." And you went home and pigged out when you got home. But the reality is, you didn't want to become too... You wanted him to know you were a lady. And us men, we would sit down and we would be proper. And we'd try to make sure we laid our napkin in our lap. And we'd make sure we laid our forks in the right way, even though it didn't really matter at the house. It was every man for himself. Just get some before everybody else gets it. But when you go out with that little lady that you're trying to impress, and the bad thing is, if you're like me, you don't know which fork goes where. Because you weren't that proper at the house. You just hope you got the forks in the right spot. And then after a while, you finally marry that little lady. And you're still proper for a good period of time. But then what happens? You become too what? Too common. Now all of a sudden, used to, you'd have give her every donut in the pack. Now she's lucky to get a half if she's fast enough to get it from you. Because you've become too common. Now think about this. You'd have never let that little lady come to your house when you was dating and go out and mow the grass. But after you're married for a while, it's, "Well, honey, I got to do this. Or I got, thank you, mow that grass for me today." Because it becomes what? Common. But if those are all in the natural, how much more so does it happen in the spiritual? Do you want to know what Jesus said to the church of Ephesus when he was talking to John in the book of Revelation? He told them what the ought was he had against the church of Ephesus was, he told the church at Ephesus, "You, the ought I have against you is you have lost your first love." You've got everything that looks right. You're doing a good job with the poor. Don't get me wrong, you're a giving church. You have all of the key things, he told John about the church of Ephesus. He said, "But the problem I have, the one ought I have against the church of Ephesus, is because it became too common. You lost your first love. It's not like the first time I met you. You're not active in the spirit anymore. You're going through the motions. It's just something you do on Sunday now." The reality is, there's a danger when things become too what? Common. I'll go a little further. When you first got the Holy Ghost, you got in the car, there was stations you erased off your channel. You live for a God for a few years. It's not that bad. Start picking up little things along the way because you can handle it now. Can you? Or has the devil slowly, subtly let it become common in your life? I'll even go a little bit further. I think we need to be careful with our brothers and sisters. I believe it always ought to be Brother Joey or Brother Stilts.
because he's my brother. He's not just Joey. We're on an even playing field. I may be a pastor, but he's my brother. Even the angel said, don't, John, don't you bow down to me. I'm not God. We're on a playing field here. We're both head. I may be the mouthpiece speaking to you from God at this moment, but don't you get the authority that you're some or that I'm some. The reality is we're all just hoping to make it towards heaven. And if the righteous are scarcely saved, the Bible says, where do the sinners fall? But I believe it even so much as it's, and I'll be transparent with you, my wife and I even have talked about this at times, that we got to even be careful because we're a small church, that we've got to be very close to all of you, discipling people and getting them to God. But we've got to be careful that we don't become too, what? Common to you. So that instead of me being pastor, I'm Brent. Or my wife being Sister Smith, she becomes Amanda. The reality is we got to protect those things. Here's the reason. Because if I just become Brent to you, your respect level for me and my ability to be able to minister to you when you're having difficult troubles, times in your life, is very difficult when I'm just Brother Brent. There has to be a sense of respect that has to be there. For instance, if that gets wore down in our lives, and Sister Jade would never do this, but can I use you for an example just for purposes? There may be a time that Sister Jade's growing up, and Sister Cooper and my wife and I have all just become common, and we're just friends. And they talk about how we're just normal people, and all just pastor. He's on his high horse today. Don't worry about what he's preaching. It was just no big deal. It's just common. But then Sister Jade has a major problem in her life, and Sister Cooper's at her wit's end and brings me Sister Jade and said, "Would you please help me?" And if we become too common, Sister Jade, I won't be able to help you because of your respect for me is gone. You've heard me preach a million times. And we've got to be careful to protect those layers that God puts into our lives as brothers and sisters even. That we shouldn't become too familiar with each other, that we know each other's every issue and problem in life. I think that is one of the dangers of Facebook today. Everybody shouldn't know every single thing you're doing in your life. If you've got a tweet that you're getting a hamburger, and you got a tweet that you're going to the bathroom, and you've got a tweet that you're getting a donut, and you've got a tweet that you're going to bed, and you got a tweet that you're brushing your teeth, you know what? You're tweeting too much. The reality is, everybody don't need to know everything about you. Because the reality is, I have things in my life, even as a pastor, that some of you probably would say, "Oh, pastor really, really does have an issue? You mean Pastor and Sister Smith had an argument? If I'm out there tweeting it, well, me and Sister Smith, we disagreed over what we were going to have for dinner tonight." Now all of a sudden you say, "Oh, Pastor and Smith, they're fighting. They may resign next week." Everybody doesn't need... You're a real human being. You have real problems. And the danger of becoming too common with one another is you become too familiar, and then it becomes okay to pick on each other when really it's not. There has to be a respect between our brothers and sisters. That is a child of God. That's not just another human being with flesh, but that is someone that is so important to God that He called them, He cleaned them up, He purified them, and He chose them out of this whole world to be His son, His daughter. That's the bride of Christ. We must protect those things that it doesn't become too common. Would go as far as saying, even Peter, when Peter
was preaching and doing all the things that he was doing, and the Spirit of God came to him and he had a dream. There was unclean animals showing up in his dream. There's a table fixed of unclean things. Peter, being a Jew, said, I can't get up and... No, not me. Did not Jesus say, don't call common what I have deemed holy? And if God deemed your brother or sister holy, who are you to determine whether they're holy or not? That's a child of God. That's a holy vessel. That's royal priesthood. That's a child of the King. That's a blessed vessel. So you say, Pastor, what are you trying to tell us today? What are you getting at? What I'm trying to get at is, don't wait until you're in agony or you're stricken with disease or like Brother Rodney was last week, flat on his back laying in a hospital, to take the things of God seriously. Because the reality is, this isn't common. This is the presence of God. This is the Spirit of God that you feel inside this church when we gather together. It's not just another Sunday. When I'm preaching, I'm not just preaching another message. I'm trying to save a soul from going to hell. It's not common. It's holy. I've watched so many. I watched even this weekend of a small clip on my little computer, Surface computer. A sister, Priscilla Magruder. How many of you heard the Magruders when they were in their prime? Some fantastic singers. It was one of her last times to be able to sing. She was ministering at CLC, which was the church they were out of originally, and she was singing. She was singing, "Soon I'll soar like an eagle, high on wings of grace." Singing about going home. She was very, very ill at that moment. And I'd seen her sing live many times. But this was different. And you know what I saw when she was singing that time? Out of all the other times I'd seen her live, she wasn't just entertaining that day. She was ministering. And it reminded me of some of the early times that she had sang when she would walk in the Holy Ghost. And she was walking around that church and she told them, she said, please loop the music. And she began walking up and down the aisles, laying hands on people. Tears were streaming down people's face. And the anointing of God was moving upon them. And I thought, wow. How can she be going through something so dramatic? Dying of cancer. And I was listening to one of her last things that she had did before this. She was singing it because of the times. Carol Magruder, her husband, came to the microphone and took it from Brother Anthony Mangan just before they began to sing. And he told Brother Anthony Mangan, he said, when my wife found out she was dying, he said, not long after that, he says, I come out of my bedroom. And Priscilla Magruder has passed on. She's went to be with the Lord. But he said, one of the last times before we are going to sing here tonight, we were going to come here and we had a doctor's appointment. When she found out she only had so long to live and it was terminal, it was bad. He said, I come out of my bedroom. He said, and I walk down through the hallway. He says, and I could hear my wife praying. And he says, it was different. Something different, dramatically different. He He said, and she was in our little place we used called the den that we used for a prayer room. He said she was in her house robe. She was praying in an in-depth sense of prayer to God. He says, and I walked in and I looked at her. And I won't do this, but can I borrow this for a moment? He said she had her Bible. And it was laying on the ground. She had taken her slippers off. And she was standing on top of her Bible. She was writing the song, singing, how I'm going to make it through. I'm going to stand on the Word of God. And he said something began to transform in her mind. And I contend this is what all of us have to do. And it took her back to when she first started ministering. And when we began to sing any time after that, it was like it was her last time she would ever get to minister to a person. Because she knew it very well could be her last chance to touch God and get him in tune with the presence of God. What I hope doesn't happen with us as a church is that it doesn't take an illness or a tragedy all the time to keep us fresh in the presence of God. We've got to keep those things close to us. As if you want to come to the music, I'm wrapping up. But what I want to bring to us today is something that if you will grasp it and hold on to it, it's very simply this. Don't let it be common, because it's not. Sister Jade, you're a child of God. You're not just another young people. Sister Smith, you're a child of the King. You're not just another sister. He said, you haven't chosen me, but I have chosen you. Can we all stand? So I want to ask us all today, just be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Because the reality is, things get common. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. I want to ask us elders in the place today, is it easier to do things that you wouldn't have done 20 years ago, 30 years ago? Things slip out of your mouth that you wouldn't have thought before.